Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Look at Matthew 21 today. There's a few verses here, and I'll let you be seated. Starting in verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, the king cometh unto thee meek and sitting upon a donkey, and a colt, the foal of a donkey." And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude, spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees. They strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." I'm going to try and help us just for a few minutes today and talk about all the city was moved. All the city was moved. Let's pray one more time. God, I thank you for this spirit of worship and praise and liberty in the Holy Ghost today. We love you and we thank you, Lord, for what you've done already. I thank you for the healing that's taken place already, Lord, for the lives you've touched already by your power and your spirit today. Lord, we're here in the rest of this service just to worship you and to give you glory, and to reflect, and to praise you according to your excellent greatness. We love you today, Lord. Move in this place and let your will be done. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Clap your hands to the Lord one more time as you're seated today. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. I love that. In Hebrew, Hosanna meant save indeed. And that's what he was going to do. He was on his way to save us. And he said, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." And they cried, "Hosanna." If you pay attention, you will see that great multitudes of people gather together and make lots of fuss, lots of noise, draw lots of attention for many different reasons. Most often we go to sports. You hear me talk about that a lot. And I will die on that hill that you cannot say I'm crazy for worshiping the Lord when you see how people act at football games. Your argument is invalid. If you want to do that for them, I'll do this for him. But they gather together in multitudes, tens of thousands of people, for sporting events. They gather together for ceremonies. And they give honor to people. They gather together for concerts. Thousands of people gather together to hear one person or one band perform and sing and play, and they lose their minds. Is that my son? Yes, 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 yes. Everything to him is no right now. He means yes and says no. But they gather together for holidays. Think of New Year's in Times Square. thousands of people gathering together and they're watching the ball drop and this and the clock strike midnight and it's a new year and they cheer and they kiss each other and they go crazy and thousands of people and they gather together for political rallies, especially during election seasons. They rally together and they make signs and they lift their voices and they make their voices heard and they gather together for marches and protests and to make their voices heard about things and to declare what they believe and what they think is right and what should happen and how things should go. They gather together for live TV shows, American Idol, The X Factor. They gather and they make noise and they cheer and they watch and they give honor to these people and these figures and red carpet premieres. For movies and red carpet events and things that people, they gather together and they're taking pictures and they're asking for autographs and they're trying to reach out and just touch fame for just a moment. They're giving honor to these people and they're celebrating movies. They're celebrating film achievements and different things. And they come together in huge numbers. And they scream and shout and yell and dance and sing and run around and clap their hands and chant and cheer and wave their hands and they cry and they make a spectacle and they make their voices heard. Sounds like Sunday morning at RAC. But people do this in huge multitudes. They come out in droves and they do these things. We don't really bat an eye at it. We don't really think that's not normal. And people do this. And here in the scripture, we find a multitude of people who realize Jesus just got here. Jesus just got here. He's coming into the city. They're dropping what they're doing at the market. They're laying nets down. They're laying tools down. They're picking up their kids and running. They're going towards the gate because Jesus is coming in. And they're crying, Hosanna. Can I tell you that that's what we do on Sunday morning when we come together and the Spirit starts moving and we understand Jesus has entered the room. That's why I act the way that I do, because Jesus has just sent. I wish somebody believed it. I wish somebody right now would understand that the King of Kings is here and would just give him a shout, a hallelujah, a hosanna. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, you're going to have to get with me for just a few minutes here. They realized and understood Jesus is here. I can't be quiet. I can't be silent. I'm going to cry out. Some people didn't like it. The Pharisees, they told Jesus, and I can hear the in their voice. They said, Master, rebuke them. And they didn't like Jesus. So that master was just a, they said, Master, rebuke these people. And that's when Jesus said, if they don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. He always had an answer for them. They just kept trying and they just kept getting smacked down every time. I'm sure they didn't expect Jesus to say that. But the Pharisees told him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. There are even church people today that it gets a little loud, it gets a little rowdy, it gets a little lively in church, and they see somebody and they say, hold on, I didn't come to do this today. Jesus, all this shouldn't be going on. They shouldn't act like that at church. They shouldn't, that we should come together and just be meek and be quiet and just, And they shouldn't be acting like that. And they want Jesus to be on their side and say, hey, tell them to be quiet. Can I tell you that I'm glad that I'm not part of a dead church, that I'm not part of a quiet church, that I'm not. I'm all for. I believe in a holy hush. I believe in being reverent in times of just being quiet and just listening for the voice of the Lord. But when it's time to worship, I'm so glad that I have the freedom and the liberty to lift my voice, to leap for joy, to clap my hands, to give God glory and declare His excellent greatness. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about putting on a show. But I'm so thankful that I don't have to listen to the naysayers. And I can just keep on saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. God's been too good to me. Maybe He ain't done nothing for you, but He's done so much for me. I cannot be quiet. I'm not going to come in the house of the Lord and sit there like a bump on a log. And I'm not going to do my best statue impression. I'm going to give God some glory in the house today. There's always going to be opposition to praise. There will always be pushback on worship. Someone is going to challenge you when you get loud about Jesus. Somebody is going to... Now listen, I understand. There are some people that they make a scene and that's all they're doing is making a scene. There are some people that their mindset, their heart, their intention, their goal is not correct. Their heart is not right. And they come in and they want to draw attention to themselves. I understand that. And I understand things need to be done decently and in order. And it shouldn't just be chaos, you know, in the house of God. I understand that. But when it's coming from a true worshiper, and it's coming from a place of you don't know like I know, when it's coming from a place of reverence, and you look throughout the script, just this is one of the greatest examples that I'm not going to be quiet when I'm giving God some praise. And so people can criticize you, and they can say, you know, that you're out of order and you're it's all emotion. And well, yeah, it's not all emotion, but it's some emotion. I get emotional when I think about the goodness of Jesus. I get emotional when I think about what He's done for me and where He's brought me through and the fact that He loves me. And I get emotional. But there's going to be pushback when you worship. There's going to be pushback when you get loud about Jesus. When you're letting your light shine. When you're not just here, when you're lifting your voice, you're singing to a psalm, but when you're letting your light shine and you're letting your actions and your life show the love of God, and your conversation is about Jesus, and you're just Jesus just glowing off of you, and the enemy doesn't like that. There are going to be people that don't like that, and the enemy doesn't care if you're loud. Just don't be loud about Jesus. The enemy doesn't care if you're passionate. Just don't be passionate about Jesus. He don't care if you wave your hand and jump and lift your voice and do whatever as long as it's empty. The enemy doesn't like it. There's going to be people that don't like it. But somebody needs to say and make up in your mind that a rock, never will a rock, the old song says, never will a rock cry out in my place. He's worthy of all my praise. I just came to magnify. I just came to glorify. I just came to praise the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know if you came for a fashion show. I don't know if you came to see a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I don't know if you came today just to be part of a club, but I came to praise the Lord. Never will a rock cry out in my place. They're not going to outdo me at a football game. They're not going to outdo me at a ceremony or a rally or a march or a protest. I'm going to be that much louder. I'm going to be that much... Woo! I'm going to go that much... David said, I'm going to abase myself more than this. You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God to save. Woo! Hallelujah. Sorry, I'm a little excited. What would you do? And I'm getting where I'm going. Just indulge me for a couple more minutes here. What would you do if Jesus in the flesh, we knew all we knew about Him, but He walked visibly, just walked into the room, and you know there's Jesus. There's the King of Kings. There's God in the flesh. There He is, and He's walking down this center aisle. We'd be reaching out, trying to touch the hem of His garment. We'd be falling on our face, crying out. We'd be running to Him saying, Lord, I need You to heal me. I need You to fix me. I need You to help me. I need You to get a hold of my life. I just need to touch the hem of His garment. We'd be crying out in reverence, and we would be rejoicing and singing out and crying, Hosanna. And that's where the disconnect for people is, because they say, I can't see Him. But He said, where two or more are gathered together in My name, I'm there in the midst of them. He said, I'm sending My Spirit to you. I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the world. We've got to understand, church, And we get into this American mindset of what church is and how the routine is supposed to go. But we've got to understand that when we come together in His name, how many is gathered together in Jesus' name today? All right, well, He's here in the midst of us. And I don't have to touch Him in the flesh for Him to touch my spirit and heal my body. I've seen Him do it too many times. We need to understand that we're here in the house of God and He's here. And I'm going to reverence Him. I wish somebody right now would lift your hands and just give glory and honor and praise and reverence to the Lord right now. Come on, I mean it. Come on, if you believed He was here, you'd be worshiping. If you believed He was here, you'd be lifting your voice and praising. If you believed He's here, you wouldn't be thinking about lunch. You wouldn't be thinking about the rest of the week. You'd be saying, Jesus, I love You. Jesus, I thank You. Jesus, I worship You today. He's here, He's here, He's here. He's here, He's here. It's not a fairy tale. It's not magic. Jesus is here. It's the Spirit of the Lord that moves among us. He inhabits the praises of His people. He inhabits the praises of His people. This is just a little something to help us today before we get where we're going. My landing is going to be real quick. This is the takeoff. We've got to understand that He inhabits the praises of His people. I am not rolling the dice when I pray. I am not rolling the dice. I'm not spinning the wheel when I call out and ask Him, Lord, touch my body. Touch my mind, heal my family, work in my situation. It's not just emotion, it's the Spirit of God. I've got to understand, I'm not just hoping something happens. We've got to understand that He inhabits the praises of His people. That's why we push so hard in our worship service. Everybody clap your hands. Everybody lift your voice. That's why we push so hard, because worship is going to precede miraculous things. Worship and praise is going to precede liberty being loosed in the house and miracles and signs and wonders. We've got to understand He inhabits the praises of His people. Look at verse 10 again. It says, when He was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. All the city was moved. Now I'm going to try and temper myself a little bit right now and help us with this. So don't worry about me blowing your eardrums anymore. Well, I'm not apologizing, but you're good to go from here on out, all right? It says all the city was moved. When Jesus came in and this multitude was lifting Him up, and praising and worshiping and declaring that the King of Kings is here. He has entered in. He's here. It says all the city, not just those that were right there in that spot. All the city was moved. And it started to go everywhere. And people were asking, who is this? Who is this? It got their attention when there were some loud followers, some loud disciples that were lifting up the King of Kings. It got people's attention and it moved the whole city. The whole city. Church, can I tell you today that a praising church will move a city? There can't just be, there are hundreds of options for somewhere that you might want to go to church. And I'm not putting us on a pedestal or anything. I'm talking about a praising church, a worshiping church will make a difference in a city, will move a city. And I'm not just talking about when we get together in here. I'm talking about a church that our life and the way we conduct ourselves and the way we move through day to day, it will move the people around us. It will move a city. It'll move your school and your home and your workplace and the people that you come in contact with when you are lifting up the name of the Lord. I've got to just try and get this to us today that we cannot be a silent church. We cannot be a people who knows who our King is but doesn't tell anybody that He's here and He's available to you. And come on, somebody. We cannot be a people that sits on this truth and sits on what we know and we're silent while there's a world and there are people out there that are dying and need the Lord. I'm telling you, we've got to be a church that is crying out and saying, the King is here. He's available. He can touch your life. He can heal you. He can save you. People are going to ask, who is this? We've got to be able to tell them. We've got to be able to tell them. People need to know. And when we're a church and a people that is lifting up the name of the Lord, the whole city will be moved. The whole city. I'm talking about the drug addict. I'm talking about the one sleeping under the bridge and in the gutter. I'm talking about people in low, 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 low places. People that are now where you used to be. People that have addictions, perversions. People that are fighters and people that are sick and people that are mean and people that are full of hatred and bitterness and people whose lives are broken, people whose marriages and families are broken, people who are struggling and barely hanging on by a thread. Those people, a city, our cities, our communities, our counties full of people like that will be moved when there's a church that won't stay silent, when there's a people that won't stay silent. I believe it. I believe it. It's true. It's true. People need to know that the King is here. The King is here. In John 12, I hope I'm helping us today. In John 12, verse 32, Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me. We've talked about here recently. Thank you. We've talked about here recently how that the Lord is drawing people seems like there's a momentum that's not just going out, but pulling in. Jesus is drawing people. I tell you why. It's because there's a church here that won't stay silent. And what Jesus was talking about, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all men to me. He's talking about the cross. He said they're going to lift me up. They're going to lift me up from the earth. But it had a double meaning when he's talking about that. Because they would lift him up physically on the cross. But it would become a beacon of hope and salvation for whosoever will. For whosoever will, let him come. And when we will be determined to know nothing else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, like Paul said, I've got it, don't worry. While the world is raising their banner and the world is being loud about what they want to be loud about, I'm going to raise up this banner and I'm going to be determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I'm going to lift up the message. I'm going to lift up the gospel. I'm going to lift up the truth. I'm going to lift up Jesus. And they can be loud about what they want to be loud about. And they can declare what they want to declare. But this is what we're going to declare in our city. This is what we're going to declare in our community. This is what we're going to declare in our world. This is what we're going to declare to the addict and the broken and the alcoholic and the... This is what we're going to declare. I'm going to lift this banner. I'm going to raise this flag. And I'm going to be determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Oh, somebody lift Him up right now. Somebody lift Him up right now. If you know that He's drawing, He's drawing. If you'll lift it up, if you'll know nothing but Jesus and Him crucified, it's going to draw all men unto Him. This is my banner. This is my banner. This is my banner. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I'm going to raise that banner. I'm going to raise that banner. I'm going to lift Him up. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I am not ashamed, the writer wrote, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed. He said, for it's the power of God to save. Musicians, you can come today. Just give me just another moment. I know that our goal and our mission and our vision is souls. We talk a lot about outreach, as we should. We need to do more and more and more. We need to reach more. And we need to reach out more. But let me reach in for just a second and help somebody today that needs to come to these altars and tell you that worship and praise and magnifying God. And you can stand with me. It'll move a city. It'll move people around you. It'll move your workplace, your school, your home. It'll move things. It'll shake things. It'll change things. But I want to tell somebody who needs to come to these altars today that worship and praise and magnifying the Lord will move things in you. When I decide to lift my voice, when I decide to raise my hands, when I decide to step out of my comfort zone, when I shake myself a little bit, I decide I'm going to magnify the Lord. I'm going to give Him praise. I'm going to be vocal. I'm going to lift Him up today. it moves things in you. And I want to reach for somebody right now. I've preached to us as a church, but now I'm reaching for individuals that you feel like you need some spiritual WD-40, what you feel like. Because you feel like, I feel not the same as I did. And I feel slow in my walk with God. And I feel weighed down. I feel heavy when I come to church. I feel heavy in day to day. And I've got these things on me. And this turmoil and this storm raging inside of me. And I've got burdens just weighing on my shoulders. The cares of life, situations, these circumstances. But how long has it been? And this is not criticism. Because I've been here. This is not criticism. But have you checked your worship? I'm not placing just blame on you today. I'm not saying that worship doesn't keep trouble away from us completely, but what gets us through trouble, what gets us through those hard places, those cold places, those numb places, those heavy places. Have you checked your worship? Maybe it used to be you that was the first one to step out. Maybe it used to be you that wasn't ashamed to lift your voice, dance and worship and cry and be emotional and be demonstrative in your worship and praise. Maybe it used to be you that was the key to a service, that when you stepped out, it would melt the ice off the ones next to you and it would help the service break loose. Maybe that was you. But maybe that hasn't been you for a long time. Maybe you haven't felt as close to God anymore. You're saying, I'm doing all this stuff, but it's good to read and it's good to fast and do good things and listen to podcasts and come to church and listen to preaching, but all that stuff can't be done so much that it eliminates the need for that adoration and that worship. We can get so busy. We can get like Martha. And we need to get like Mary. And say, you know what? All I need to do right now is just sit at His feet. And just worship Him and give Him praise and adoration.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.